So we're speaking today with Dr. Keyur Patel. He is the Chief Medical Officer with Compassionate Certification Centers. How are you doing today, Dr. Patel?
Excellent. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing great. Let's first explore, how did you first get interested in concussions? Why was that an area of research for you?
Working through the emergency department, we saw a large variety of head injuries, from adolescents to sports-related injuries to elderly people, from just falling to car accidents. And there isn't much in the way of diagnosing these head injuries for the downstream events that we see that pop up. And there's been a large knowledge base moving forward about concussions in the last 20 years, and particularly in the last 10 years, with just the public being more aware of the side effects of these. And we get a lot more parents asking these questions about, what is the side effects of this? How long are they going to last? And we just need to educate ourselves and educate the fellow physicians in terms of how to diagnose these things appropriately and what to do in terms of management.
How did you first get interested in cannabis?
Initially, it was almost as a side effect of what I saw in the emergency department. Working there, seeing a large amount of opiates being prescribed, and that's kind of what we were taught coming up through residency program, was there was no way to treat people's pain was through opiate medications, and this was being pushed from all different directions. And if anti-inflammatories did not work, the usual over-the-counter medications did not work, the only choice you really had was to go to opiates. But as you know, in the last 5-10 years, we've seen a huge growth in the amount of deaths and the mortality and morbidity associated with these opiate overdoses is a national epidemic, and this is a perfect time for us to develop another tool in our toolbox to deal with pain.
Was there any particular thing you learned, or any particular aha moment when one particular thing where you just said, this is something I really need to explore when it came to cannabis?
Well, seeing the states legalize it and how fast it's progressed from in the last 5 years, from Colorado being an outlier to now 25, 26 states approving some form of medical marijuana, and within the next 5 years, it's going to be at 50 states. This is the pioneering event in terms of a whole new class of medications that are going to be developed from this plant. And so this is exciting to be on the cutting edge of this medicine.
Is that part of why you were motivated to create the event that you have coming up in April?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to having the first symposium here in Western PA dealing with the business aspect plus the medical aspect of medical cannabis.
Well, there's, Pittsburgh has got quite a history with the concussion. It was Mike Webster's brain, which actually led to the discovery. He was the center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, the doctor here at Pitt was the one that first coined that term, CTE, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you're right.
So your specialty is concussions, not so much the CTE, but how much overlap is there, or is there any overlap, or how is cannabis playing into this whole?
There is a large overlap. CTE is just a broader category of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and concussion falls in a subset of that as a mild version of that.
What is the relationship between inflammation and cannabis that we know of?
Well, we know that when people undergo a concussion, their neurotransmitter pathways are disrupted, they're thrown off, there's a whole intracellular pathways that occur that cause swelling and inflammation of the brain. We know that we've been finding out through some studies that cannabinoids are able to decrease that intracellular calcium, decrease the inflammation of the brain, and also decrease the swelling in the brain. And this endocannabinoid pathway is, I think, going to be the key to showing the evidence for.
So where we are right now is really at the infant stage. There's so much more we need to study.
Right? Correct. Even in concussion-related research, there, because of the restrictions that the FDA and the DEA have placed on cannabinoid research, the amount of studies that have been able to be produced have been limited. And out of the studies that have occurred, only a small percentage have been double-blinded studies, and even with those double-blinded studies, which are the most efficacious studies, there's been also decreased patient volumes in those studies. So they really do need to open the gate so we can do large scale studies with thousands of patients rather than hundreds of patients to find, to get more scientific proof for this benefit.
I remember when I interviewed Dr. Donner, your partner in this organization, he said how there's just not enough really efficacious tools to deal with concussions. Does it seem like that cannabis shows some promise of being a good tool for this?
There is. Knowing that some of the studies that have been produced out there, a lot done by either University of California, San Diego has done some studies, and also Canadian Medical Association has done some studies that have shown significant improvement with traumatic brain injury in terms of reducing that inflammation and protecting the brain. And secondary to that, some of the symptoms we see with concussions, including not only are the biggest complaints headaches and the dizziness, but we also see photophobia, light sensitivity, people's moods. We see emotional lability, people's moods up and down, their sleep cycle is thrown off, and sleep disturbances. And we found that in some of these research studies that they've performed, they found improvements in people's sleep cycles, and also in their levels of anxiety and depression following concussions, which is one of those undiagnosed sequela that we see flourishing now.
So it's not just treating the actual condition, but maybe the whole quality of life that goes with it.
Correct.
What made you choose the Answer Page as the providers for the educational, the CME component of your event?
As we were moving forward with organizing our company and looking at the different educational opportunities out there, we realized that New York State had initiated this Answer Page as a CME required course that they want their physicians to go through, and as it's expanding, other states are going to be requiring this level, and the amount of information that's produced is concise and very informative, but at the same time not horribly time sensitive. Physician can spend 4 hours educating himself and being certified through this process. They're also learning the up-to-date research and obtaining the CME required.
And 22 and a half CMEs, that's quite a large, that's the largest amount we've seen.
That is. That's an excellent amount of credits, and especially to be able to do that within 1 to 2 days at your own time is hopefully going to be a great draw for some of the physicians and physicians in training who are looking at us.
When do you think we'll see this kind of information taught at this level in medical schools?
The pace that I've seen moving forward in the last 5 to 10 years, I would have told you 20 years down the line, 2 years ago, but now I think within 5 to 10 years, medical schools will have caught up, and the research should flourish on this. And once the research flourishes, the medical community will follow behind.
Have you seen that? You've seen a noticeable shift then in the last, say, year or 2 years of the attitudes of doctors?
Definitely. The doctors, physicians, patients, and educators too, in terms of the widespread acceptance of cannabis as a medical, legitimate medical form.
And how do you think Pennsylvania is doing as a model for presenting it to doctors in a really professional way?
So far, we've seen is they've taken the whole approach where they're taking the input as they're developing these new laws and restrictions about what they're going to, conditions they're going to qualify for. And they've been very interactive in terms of the physician community, the large health systems in our state, in organizing the laws moving forward to tailor it so it suits the patient and gets the best benefit for what they want to bring forward.
I think an important thing to note is that this conference is not just for doctors who are pro-cannabis or even just on the fence. This is actually for all doctors, because all doctors are going to have patients come to them and say, I want to know more about cannabis, or I'm taking cannabis right now. Is that how you feel about
yes,
it?
Yes, correct. It's going to be one form of medication that's going to be available to all patients in Pennsylvania, so every physician, like it or not, needs to be at least up to date on the current scientific literature and the prescribing habits and what it's indicated for. And even if they don't feel comfortable with it or agree with it, they should at least be informed in terms of what it provides in as opposed to opiates or any other medications out there.
Is there any last thing about the event that you'd like to cover?
I'm very excited by having the first event in Pennsylvania here, and I think this is a groundbreaking event that hopefully will draw in nationwide and hopefully put Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh on the map for CBD and cannabis, medical cannabis research. We want to be on the cutting edge of this.
Sounds great.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.